morning. Happy Easter to all of you this morning. This morning we are launching into a new series called Resurrected Life. And we're going to be exploring how the resurrection of Jesus, how the power of the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead is also able to transform our own lives. And so as we go through this series this morning, we'll be talking about the resurrection of Jesus and why it matters. And from there, we're going to be hearing more about the Spirit and what it means to listen to the Spirit and what it means to be led by the Spirit and what it means to have a transformed life from the Spirit. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what God will do as we journey through this series called Resurrected Life. But this morning, we are starting by taking a look at the resurrection of Jesus himself. And we're going to be talking about why does it matter? Why does the resurrection of Jesus make any difference at all? And as I was preparing to speak this morning, I was on my phone, and I have BBC News app on my phone. And as I was scrolling through, I saw a story that BBC had done some research. And they had polled people leading up to Easter. They had polled people to see whether people believed that the resurrection actually happened or not. And the statistics were really, really interesting because they found of the people that they had polled within the UK that 1 in 4 or 25% of those that self-identified as being Christian in the poll also said they didn't believe that the resurrection was true. And interestingly enough, 9% of those that were polled that said they had no religious affiliation at all actually said they did believe that the resurrection was true. Now, this is really interesting to me because 25% of those who said that they were Christian say they don't believe in one of the things that actually makes our faith powerful and meaningful and real. And interestingly enough, 9% of those that say they don't have any faith at all believe in the resurrection of Jesus, which is a key piece to the Christian faith. So 25% of people who are self-identifying as Christians may not fully understand what it actually means to be one. They may have got caught up in thinking that Christianity was a set of principles or a philosophy to live by or a set of religious rituals to go through, and somehow they missed the power and the importance and the significance of believing in the resurrection of Jesus. And 9% of people may actually be Christians, they just don't know it yet. So that's interesting to me. Gives good insight of why we should be sharing with our faith the hope that we have in Jesus. But as I thought about that, it raised a good question to me as we explore the resurrection this morning, and that question is this: why does the resurrection matter? Like, why does it matter? Why is it important that those 25% don't actually believe the resurrection happened? Like, who cares? What's the big deal? Well, interestingly enough, Paul, who wrote a great deal of the New Testament and was integral in spreading the good news of Jesus to those people who were not Jewish and weren't familiar, he actually wrote about this to a group of people in the city of Corinth. And he actually wrote them a letter because there were people in the church of Corinth that were saying the exact same thing. They didn't believe the resurrection was true either. And so Paul writes in this letter, he writes in a passage of it to address this very issue of why the resurrection matters to the Christian faith and why it's important that if you're going to follow Jesus, that you believe that the resurrection is true. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. And that passage can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to start in verse 17. And you can follow along on your Bible app on your phone or if you have a hard book copy of the Bible, you're welcome to follow along in that, or it's on the screen if you don't have either of those. So feel free to join with us as we look at this passage together. It says, and if Christ, which is can be used interchangeably with Jesus, because Jesus was known as the Christ, has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only you for this life, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. If the resurrection didn't happen, Christian faith is meaningless. It's meaningless. It doesn't have any power. It doesn't have any significance. It's just a bunch of religious rituals that we're all going through, and we might as well close the doors of this church tomorrow. It's meaningless. It's futile. Paul says, more than just being meaningless, people should be sorry, feel sorry for us. Because we're believing a lie. We're putting our hope in something that can't actually save us. People should be like, oh, those poor Christians believing in the resurrection. How silly of them. If the resurrection never happened, none of the rest of our faith has any grounds to stand on. And so Paul, as he addresses this, he wants to start giving the people in Corinth who believe this evidence as to why the resurrection did happen. Because Paul says, don't just take my word for it, there's evidence. And so he starts to lay out in the next few verses what the evidence for the resurrection is. And so he says this, he says, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So he says, first of all, it says in scriptures, but then he says, and that he appeared to Cephas, who is also known as Peter, and then to the 12. He says, if you don't believe the scriptures, if you don't even buy into the scriptures, then guess what? There's eyewitnesses to this. Here's Peter and 12 of his apostles who he appeared to, who will say, yes, Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. But Paul doesn't leave it at that. He continues, and he says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Now, this room, at capacity, seats around 450 people. So it's like every chair in this room is filled, and there's like 50 others. So it's like standing room only. The place is just packed out. And Jesus all of a sudden appears before all those people. And Paul is saying, what Paul's saying to these Corinthian people who don't believe the resurrection is true, is like, you don't believe the resurrection is true? Okay, don't take my word for it. Ask any one of those 500 people. He says, they're still alive. You can ask them for yourself. Ask any one of them. They'll tell you it's true. They'll tell you what they saw. And it's significant that the early followers of Jesus were willing to give testimony of the resurrection because they were actually persecuted for their faith in Jesus. They could be killed or thrown in jail for telling others about Jesus and for showing that they believed in Jesus. And many of them ended up dying for this belief in the resurrection. Now, if I claimed to be the eyewitness of somebody, of something, of an event that happened, and somebody said, I don't believe that that's what happened, renounce it, or I'm killing you, I'd have to be pretty sure of myself that I actually witnessed that. I wouldn't be like, yeah, I think it kind of happened, but I don't know. But yeah, sure, kill me. I would have to be pretty convinced in order to say, I will not renounce my faith in Jesus. I saw him. I know he was resurrected from the dead. And there are many historical writers, some of them who were actually very much anti the Christian movement, who gave testimony in their writings that Jesus existed and that indeed he was executed by Pontius Pilate, and that his believers claimed that he rose from the dead. As I was researching, I found 10 different historical sources that had nothing to do with the Bible, and some, as I said, actually hated Christians, some of these historians, and yet all of them agreed that Jesus existed and that he was killed. And many of them gave testimony to the fact that his followers believed that he was resurrected. Paul says there's proof. There's proof that the resurrection happened. There's good reason to believe it. So if that's true, if it's true that the resurrection actually happened, why does it matter? Back to that question. Why does it matter? Like for me, Ryan, in 2017 in Prince George, what difference does it make that Jesus rose from the dead? I mean, who cares? How does that affect my life today? How does that make a difference to me and how I might live my life in the present? Well, Paul addresses the difference that the resurrection makes as well. He addresses that in a book that he wrote to the church in Rome. And it can be found in your Bibles in the book of Romans. And we're going to have a look at chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to start right at the beginning of chapter 6 in verse 1. And this is what Paul says as he's explaining the significance of the resurrection. He says this, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us," he's using symbolic language now, he says, "all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death." So he's saying, baptism is a symbol of when you get dunked down under the water. It's a symbol of dying to your old way of living. And so he's saying, this is, it's a symbol that you're dying. It's not like we promise later when we baptize people, it's just a symbol. We're not going to hold them there till the bubbles stop, right? We will bring them up, we promise, because it's just symbolic. They're not really dying through baptism. But he says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into his death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So baptism then is a symbol of dying to your old way of living, the sin that easily entangled you and trapped you, and rising anew with this power in the Spirit to live differently. The resurrection matters because if Jesus rose, we have hope for a transformed life. We have the hope of a transformed life because that same power that the Holy Spirit had that raised Jesus from the dead now comes and lives in us if we say yes to Jesus. And that power transforms our lives from the inside out. And we become changed people as the Spirit empowers us to overcome the sin in our lives, to overcome the brokenness in our lives. If Jesus rose, we have hope for a transformed life. And that's good news in the here and now. It continues, it says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." The resurrection matters because we don't have to stay stuck in our old ways. The Bible uses lots of symbolism when it talks about sin. And one of the things that it often talks about sin is it talks about sin being like chains or shackles or bonds, or that we're enslaved to it, that we have no freedom. And so this morning, I have with me some police-issued handcuffs. I'm not telling you where I got them. I promise I didn't steal them. And they have not previously been used to haul me off to jail. But I got them nonetheless. And this morning, I want to just use them as a symbol of our sin and how our sin, it shackles us. And now, I've never tried this, but I have to say, if I had to live my life like this, I don't imagine it would be very easy, right? I imagine coming to work and, you know, I go to my laptop and I try to type. That would just be awkward. I'd have to resort to maybe the hunt and peck method, right? Although that's probably not far off from my typing skills anyway, but... And like, imagine, like, if you were a carpenter and you're trying to swing a hammer, that'd just be awkward. I mean, most of the things you would find to do in life are extremely difficult, handcuffed. Wouldn't they be? I mean, I got into all kinds of things in my crazy imagination that would be difficult with handcuffs. You can use your own imagination. You don't want to hear all of the things I imagine. But the point is this, is that sin is like these handcuffs. It prevents us from having the freedom to enjoy life the way God intended. It causes us to be prisoners to it, and we need something to set us free. We need someone to set us free. Because life was not meant to be lived in bondage to sin and brokenness. And that is where the resurrection comes in, because Christ came and he died on the cross, and we celebrate that on a day called Good Friday, and many people who don't follow Jesus, they often ask, why would you call it Good Friday? I mean, a guy was killed. How is that good? No, Christians aren't morbid. We have a reason why we celebrate it and call it Good Friday. Because when he died, he took our sins upon himself. And when he rose again, he didn't stay dead. On Sunday, on Easter Sunday, which is today, we celebrate that he rose from the dead. And when he rose, he defeated the power of death and sin. And he gave us freedom. It's like Jesus' death and resurrection is the key to the handcuffs. Now I awkwardly have to try to unlock it. And when Jesus gives us freedom, I might need a volunteer, actually. Someone want to help me with this. See, I too cannot release myself. It goes in right there. No. Yep. I must have put them on differently because I was able to release myself in the first. Oh, you almost got it, but not quite. Technical difficulties, please stand by. All right, there we go. Thank you very much. Now I'm free, kind of. So, Christ sets us free from the bondage of sin. We don't have to stay trapped by it. And our lives begin to be transformed. And one day, we have the assurance as followers of Jesus that Christ will come back and he will put all sin and all death under his feet, and he will make the world perfect again with no sin, no pain, and we will be completely set free for all of eternity. And there will be no more bondage to sin. The resurrection matters because we get freedom from sin as a result. So, Paul says this, in light of all this, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Paul is saying the resurrection matters because of it, we are reconnected with God. And we're given a life with meaning and purpose. Because of that, we go from a person who was shackled in the bondage of our sin and brokenness to a person that God can use to be part of the process to release other people from their sin and their bondage. God now can use us to do things that matter for all of eternity. We now become God's tools, so to speak, to bring freedom to others as we bring the message of that freedom to them. And we get to do things like stand up for mercy and justice and peace. We become God's instruments for good. So we don't just get released so that we can go, woo, we're released, we're free. We get released so that we can be part of setting others free by the power of Jesus and his resurrection and by the power of the Spirit that enabled all that to happen. So the resurrection matters because we are reconnected with God and given life that has meaning and purpose. We get to be part of things that matter for all of eternity. I mean, who doesn't want their life to count for something? Paul finishes off this passage by saying, the wages of sin is death. Death and destruction is what comes if we stay stuck in our sin and we don't gain freedom from it. But he says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the amazing thing is, that eternal life isn't just something that we get to sit around and wait for when we go to heaven and be with Jesus one day. That eternal life starts the moment we say yes to Jesus. We get to enter into that eternal life with him. And that goes from that day forevermore. The resurrection matters because it allows us to spend all of eternity in relationship with God. And so, this morning, I want to finish, as we move towards the conclusion this morning, I want to finish by saying this. Will you choose new life in Jesus today? It's available for you. God is offering it to you. Will you choose it? Maybe you are here for the very first time today and you've never heard this message of freedom that God offers you from sin and brokenness. You can choose that today. In a few moments, we're going to have elders and staff and different people who are part of prayer meeting on Wednesday morning. They're going to come up and they're going to make themselves available. And if you have never heard this message and you want that freedom, you feel that you are still shackled by sin in your life and you've never said yes to Jesus, you can come forward when the worship team comes and sings. You can make your way forward. You can pray with one of those people and they would love to lead you in how you can say yes to Jesus this morning. But I also know that there are some of us who have said yes to Jesus, and yet there are certain areas of our life that we still feel that bondage to sin. You're welcome to come forward as well and just pray with someone that God would help release you from that area in your life that is still a struggle in your life. Because we know that we do gain freedom in Jesus. But it's still sometimes a process in our lives to become a new creation and to become the person God created us to be and to do away with the old self and enter into the new life that Jesus gave for us. So the prayer team will be available for that as well. But then secondly, I want to ask the second question, and that is this. Will you choose to identify with Jesus through baptism today? Because we talked about how baptism really is a symbol, and it's a symbol that you publicly declare before all those that are here today that you are dying to your old way of living, and you now are pursuing the new life that Jesus has for you. And all that's required for you to be baptized today is that you've said yes to following Jesus, and you're committed to doing that to the best of your ability. If that's you today, there's nothing keeping you from being baptized this morning. In fact, just to make sure that there's nothing to keep you from it, we have towels, we have shirts, we have shorts. I think Holly even brought a hairdryer for all of you that are concerned about your hair. So there's nothing, there's literally nothing to stop you if you've said yes to Jesus from being baptized this morning. I know that we have two or three people that have already expressed interest to be baptized this morning. If those people want to start making their way just into this side room over here. And if you this morning, as the worship team comes, if you this morning would also like to be baptized, as the worship team leads us in a song of worship to God, you can just make your way through those doors as well, or you can feel free to make your way out the back door and just come away around to the back room, and you can just connect with one of the pastors back there, and we'll just have a quick conversation, and we'd love to baptize you this morning. So prayer team, if you can come forward at this time as well, that would be great. And if you want to say yes to Jesus or you want to pray with someone this morning, you feel free at this time too to come and to meet with them. Elders, staff, prayer team, if you can come forward at that time, that'd be great. I'm going to pray. We're going to worship together and then we're going to baptize some people. Let's pray. God, I thank you so, so much that you not only were willing to die for us, Jesus, but that you rose again. Death couldn't hold you, God. And I thank you that we can have resurrected life in you as a result, God. And I pray for each person here that your spirit would move powerfully in them to free them from the bondage that sin can have on our lives. Bring freedom. Bring this freedom that the Spirit can only bring.